Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today we are talking with a friend of mine that I met via social media. You'll hear a lot of those stories on this show. We met on social media. Sarah and I met on Twitter back in, I think, 2008, and Sarah is just a remarkable young woman. She is somebody who graduated and just catapulted herself into a extraordinary career doing PR for brands. She's worked with celebrities. She's really just had an extraordinary, highly visible career as a young female entrepreneur. And she's an amazing woman, very connected, very generous, works with amazing integrity. And after she and I have been friends for a while. She lived in Chicago. She moved to Las Vegas with her husband, and now she has two kids and has continued to evolve her career, her business. She's still working with brands, creating content. She just launched a podcast. You'll hear about that in the show. But what we talked about in the show was how she's changed her health and fitness focus after having kids. And I think a lot of you moms out there or soon-to-be moms are really going to appreciate learning from Sarah how and why she made a lot of the health changes, how her philosophy for herself and her family evolved over the years. And I'm certain that after you hear this interview, you're going to want to tune in, subscribe to her podcast, follow her, because I love how she's evolving on her fitness journey and being very savvy and smart about it. And again, there's just a lot of tidbits you're going to hear. I don't want to give away the whole interview, but tune in, listen, and learn from Sarah Evans. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and I have with me on the phone today, and she also has a little visitor, which we'll refer to later, Sarah Evans. And she is actually, I know I told you about her in my intro, but I have to say again, because it's kind of a funny story how Sarah and I met. And we use this phrase a lot, so I'm going to use air quotes. We met on social media, and Sarah was actually living in Chicago. Would you say, Sarah, that it was like 2008 that you and I met, and I attended your first Twitter party ever?
Yes, I think it was that long ago, pre-kids.
It was like, you know, I remember that you followed me, and I don't know how many followers you had. I had like four. And I'm like, oh, Sarah Evans followed me. And then we did a tweet up, and that was when Scott Mani was like, I coined the term tweet up. And we went and we did like a tweet up. And weren't there like six of us at a place in Elgin, Illinois?
Yeah, it was pretty small.
Yeah, this was way back. For those of you that are listening that are all hip and maybe like more of the millennial crowd, right? You're listening. We were on Twitter way back when. So I just had to put that out there that we're pretty darn cool. I'm just gonna say it. Would you agree, Sarah?
I think so. We're like the OGs of Twitter.
It's a little scary though when I think about it. Like when Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, when he came to Chicago and we did that party for him, that was 2009.
Yeah.
I'm like, and anyway, but so we don't bore everybody, we are going to talk about fitness. And in case you're hearing, which I think it's adorable, Sarah has just, how long ago did you have your baby?
4.5 months ago. And it's just real life. She is in the room because that's how I live right now.
I can just hear like little baby cooing. Oh, yeah. And it's just, I want to come babysit. So we'll talk about that later. But anyway, thank you for being on the show. It's so great to reconnect with you. And it's been funny because I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I'm going to dive right into our questions. But one of the reasons that I asked Sarah to be on the show is, you know, we always want to have a lot of moms, and moms that are, you know, fitting everything in, from work to getting body back after baby, whatever that looks like for them, and be able to share real life stories, not just what we see in the media, which is, you know, oh my God, I had a baby and a week later I'm back to my, you know, high school size and it's just no problem. I just took a shake. Everything's great. That's not reality. So we want to have, we want to have real stories on here. But Sarah and I were connecting and kind of sharing stories on Snapchat. And I started to see a lot of the stuff she was putting up was paleo. And interestingly enough, that's been how my diet has progressed over the past year or so. So I reached out to her and I'm like, I don't know what you're doing, but I want to hear about it, because she was making some great paleo food on Snapchat. It was making me very hungry. And so I thought, what a great interview this could be, not only because she and I have been friends for so long, but she's doing it all. She's multi everything and succeeding at it all. And I know that sounds like a little bit of a cheesy intro, but why don't you, my first question for you before we dive into the paleo and how you got there is, would you say, Sarah, that, you know, when I met you, you've always been healthy, fit looking. Has fitness always been something that you'd consider was a focus for you? Did it happen after you had kids? When did you start getting into really pursuing a healthier lifestyle for yourself?
So I'm going to be very honest that genetics has been kind to me. I have a smaller petite mother, smaller father, so I never had any health issues. But was I leading a healthy lifestyle before kids? No. I mean, I was eating pretty much anything I wanted in my, you know, late teens, early 20s, even my mid 20s. And as soon as my husband and I decided that we wanted to start a family, I was like, I can't, like, everything has to be healthy that goes in my body, on my body. And I just did a complete 180. And really pursued a healthy lifestyle right before we conceived my son. And since that time, now having my daughter, it has, I mean, I feel better. I feel like I look better. Our family's healthier because I made this choice, because in our household and in many households, a lot of women are making, you know, the decisions on what you're eating, what the family has access to. And so when I changed my lifestyle, I also in turn changed our family's lifestyle.
And that's a perfect segue, because that's going to be one of the questions I'll ask for you shortly is, you know, how do you, well, you know what, let's branch into that and I'll come back to some of my other questions later. You know, a lot of moms that we hear a lot of questions from the Fitfluential community and women that are either getting ready to have kids or they have kids, they're looking to get back into shape or pursue health. They look at it like it's only for them. And I, like, I'm the mom and I'm going to diet or I'm going to get into shape. And then they either complain or they're frustrated because the rest of their family is eating junk and it's hard for them to stay on track. And I wonder, why wouldn't you want the whole family to be healthier? It doesn't mean everyone's eating chicken breast and broccoli all the time necessarily, but the big misconception is eating healthy and being fit is tasteless and it's boring. And that's not true. So did you decide, it sounds like you did, you decided right away this wasn't just going to be for you. Did you have to convince your husband to pursue health?
So my husband has always been really into sports and very fit and athletic. But, you know, he was younger back before we started this lifestyle, so he could eat anything he wanted. And I feel like with his build and his metabolism, it just like rolled off his body. But as we've gotten older, things have changed and he can't just roll it right off of his body. So I started forcing him to eat like me because he didn't have time to go to the grocery store. And at first, you know, as I've been learning and on this journey, at first some of the things I made weren't so tasteful. They weren't like full of flavor. And, you know, he would kind of complain a little bit and he'll eat anything, but he's like, man, you know, how about a little more salt? And then I learned about, you know, pink Himalayan salt, you know, things that I could change and work into it. Well, then he got a new job, and as part of his job, there's a gym on site with a trainer, and the trainer asked him how he was eating. And when he told him like what our weekly diet consists of, he started praising my husband. And it was like that external praise totally validated me. And now he's like, Yeah, my wife's awesome. This is what she does. But it was not an easy sell at first.
Well, it, you know, number one, I completely, I can relate to that. You know, I mean, at first, I think when you start, if you've been used to eating junk, and junk can be different things to different people, but you know, it's a process, but your taste buds change as well.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's certain things now, and I'm so acutely aware now that I'm being so precise, or I don't want to use precise, focused on my nutrition, what I put into my body, and eating high quality paleo foods and grass fed beef and whatnot, that when I eat the junk, cause yeah, I'm not going to lie. You know, I'm going to have dessert. I'm going to have an adult beverage. I'm going to have Pop-Tarts when I want to, but when I do have even certain things like a dessert at a restaurant, or if I have dairy, I immediately notice how it makes my body feel, mm-hmm. whether it makes me stuffy or I have, you know, I'm constantly, you know, if I have coffee with cream in it at a restaurant, I will be clearing my throat for the next, and nobody wants to hear that. So you start to pay attention. And so for those listening, you know, that are going, oh my God, I'm not going to go. I have a friend that's paleo. I'm not going to do that. First of all, just, it doesn't have to be overnight. And we're not suggesting everybody has to go paleo. We just want to educate you. But make small baby steps, no pun intended, since we're hearing a little baby. So loved hearing that. And also, let me ask you this, because this is also what we hear from a lot of moms. How do you've got a newborn, 4 months, and then you've got the older brother. Mm-hmm. How do you feed them? And, you know, a lot of moms will go, oh, I can't feed my kids paleo, or I can't feed my kids this or that. You know, do they like, have they learned to appreciate healthy food? Cause, you know, some kids are growing up on fast food and everything packaged, and they have no idea what real food tastes like. What do your kids like to eat?
So I feel like because I made this choice right before my son was born, I followed I nursed him for a long time. I'm nursing the baby now, but I know. But with my son, I did something called baby-led weaning, where I didn't buy processed baby foods. I went right to real foods and bought a mesh teether. So his first food was avocado. So I put the avocado in the mesh teether and just let him kind of suck it out of there. The same with banana, all sorts of different foods. So he really got the texture and the taste. I mean, I think he had like caviar when he was two. Like we just tried, like we've made him try all these different foods. And he still, even though we live a healthy lifestyle, he's been exposed to these. I think sometimes you just have picky kids or their taste buds, you know, experience foods different ways. So we've gone through really picky stages with him. But what we do is we have a really open dialogue about food where I'm not trying to make him crazy about it, but he'll say, how much sugar does this have, mom? Or we'll say, like when I'm packing his lunch at night, I'm like, are we hitting all the food groups? We talk about healthy options, or if he's going to have a treat, it's a treat, you know, and it's okay if he has that, but we always say in moderation. So we have an open dialogue. I firmly believe the way we started teaching him to eat, like those fundamentals of eating have helped. And I also don't ever refer to the way I eat as a diet or anything like that. It's just the way we eat. And I also don't want to make him like, I think I get a little crazy with it, and I'm trying to just give him a healthy relationship with food.
Those, you brought up so many good points there, because I think of my niece and my nephew. Excuse me, throat is dying on me. But I think of my niece and my nephew, and a lot of times, you know, with Fitfluential, we're talking about fitness, health, and I'm using air quotes, dieting a lot in front of, and my niece is 10 and my nephew is 5, and you hear them, or you can see that they're listening, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I don't want her to be growing up obsessing about, you know, and that's already happening in the media. In fact, I just posted something on Facebook earlier today about that. But, you know, I love that you're aware of what kind of messaging you're sharing with your kids, and also so that they can be equipped, because I think about kids and the pressure that they have to almost defend everything, whether it's what you pack them for school, or do they have a cell phone when they're 5? You know, that's one of the things that my niece is going through. And incidentally, one of the things we're going to be talking about on the show is the importance of limiting technology time for kids, blue light, Exactly, right? And I'd love to hear your take on that. That'll be my next question for you. But it now, you know, I'm guessing that you're having these conversations so that they don't feel like, oh gosh, you know, I don't have a phone, I'm not cool. But hey, this is why my parents are choosing to not let me go to bed with a tablet. It's, you know, and feel good about that decision. So it sounds like you're right in alignment with that. What do you know, and what are you working with your kids, or what are your goals with technology and kids?
Well, I'll tell you, with one kid, I felt like I was on it. Like I had great boundaries, great guidelines. Like I was all preachy about how you like use technology in a healthy way. And then you add in a baby to the mix. And after a C-section, I'm like, here's your tablet, enjoy, you know, cause like you know, my husband's back at work and you're trying to just survive. So right. We definitely got into some bad habits after the baby was born. And then I basically told my son, I made some mistakes with this and you've had it way too much. And the first couple of days when I was trying to limit it, because he started kindergarten, so, you know, homework has to be done. We've got after school routines. It was really difficult for him. And then it's funny, as you start to phase it out, he doesn't notice it as much. Like his iPad, well, it's my iPad, but you know, it's his, has been out of batteries for, I think, 4 or 5 days, and he hasn't said anything. And wow. Tuesdays we do a big homework packet. So when he gets that done, he can have 30 minutes of Pokemon Go time outside. So we go to the park. And you know, walk around and do something, or we use it as kind of a behavioral reward system now. And because he is the type of kid that will sit in front of a screen for hours. I mean, I truly believe he could sit a whole day on a screen and maybe just leave to go to the bathroom. I don't even know. So we do have to be careful.
It's hard. I mean, I'm not a mom, but I babysit kids, and it makes me have so much more respect for, in every way, moms, because I don't know how you do it. I mean, when I'm babysitting my niece and nephew, and I love, love, love them, but I'm exhausted, and I want to, you know, it's very tempting, like you said, to just, you know, have them babysat by the technology.
It is so easy.
And it's difficult because it's honestly, as an adult, it's been hard for me to be taught by my health coach, Kevin, who's actually our show co-host, you know, to understand how all of that blue light and that exposure has an effect on our brains and our circadian rhythms. These are things we're going to be talking about on the show. And I was the first one to go, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, I can't carry my phone. See, and
she knows. She's like, yes.
But it's real, and it makes sense if you think about it. If you think about, like, I don't know about you, Sarah, and maybe this is something you can tell us. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but like, I used to go to bed with my tablet, and I would either read my Kindle on my tablet or I would look at Pinterest, and I wondered why I couldn't sleep. And now none of that stuff comes in my room.
Yeah, we are the same. And honestly, you know, you're talking about children and the effects of the ultraviolet blue rays. It's also really bad for their little eyes. As their eyes are developing, with one of my clients that I work with is focused on eye health and the eye industry. And one of the things, just a simple trick and tip that we do with our devices, anytime our son is using it, we turn the light all the way down. That is a really simple, quick fix you can do so that bright light isn't hurting their eyes and ruining their vision for later in life.
Yeah. And I actually, it's a kind of an interesting segue. You're talking about eye health for kids. I actually had, starting in December of last year, an ear infection. And most people go, oh, that's just what kids get. You know, for some reason, welcome to my world where I have drama and health issues, but it's helping me teach lessons to other people. And I had this ear infection for almost 6 months. I ended up having a hole in my eardrum. Jeez. And I made the mistake, and it's a lesson I'm sharing with everybody that's listening. I just kept working, kept putting off going to the doctor. I go to urgent care. They give me drops, and it just kept getting worse. I finally went to see an ENT, and he fixed me. And one of the things that we got into a conversation about was kids and headphones and how much parents are giving kids not only tablets, but they're giving them music to listen to, and they always have it in their ears, and they're listening at such high levels that they're destroying their hearing. And one of the things I don't think many people realize is when your hearing's gone, it's gone. Like, you can't fix it and get it back. So, you know, do you see a lot of kids that are in, you know, kindergarten with your son that are wearing headphones or God forbid, even having, you know, cell phones at that age all the time.
So interesting story. The first week of kindergarten, I know one of the kindergarten teachers at his school, and she said a little girl came in with an Apple Watch on, which probably means she had a cell phone in her bag. And during story time that day, she answered a call on her watch.
And like, Shut up.
And I think it's the first time that this has ever happened. So all of a sudden they had to do, you know, a whole technology note sent home to parents on what is appropriate, what isn't appropriate. And regarding headphones, I don't see it as much. I see it in the elementary school age. I see a lot of second, third, fourth, fifth graders with it. And my son does get access to headphones when we're traveling on the airplane. So then I always see kids with them on. But I do see we're entering a new world with kids getting access to technology at really young ages.
Well, it is a new world, and it's a generation that, and this is why I'm really excited to have women like you on the show that can talk about, look, you know, you need to be mindful of this stuff, and it doesn't mean you have to, you know, go back on the farmstead and have nothing, but it's just a matter of making some different choices and just thinking about, like, how do you want your kids to grow up, you know? And some of the, I'm just more aware when I'm in the airports and I see families and people sitting on planes, but they get off the plane and they're walking down to get baggage, and everybody has their headphones on all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that headphones are bad, but if like you can never just walk without your headphone on and give your brain a rest, that's a problem. And also, you know, just I don't think I'm gonna have a bad answer from you on this, but so many kids in this generation and the generations that are in, you know, fifth grade and above, there's obviously a major lack of activity, a major, obviously a bad focus on diet or bad diet, if anything, and a huge dependence on technology. So you've got, you know, a whole generation of kids that has, you know, is addicted and hunching over their tablets. They're eating bad food and they're not getting outside. They're never getting sun. One of the things we'll be talking about on the show is the importance of sunlight. People think they should be avoiding it, but that's not the case. But what do you, how do you plan? Has it been, I'm guessing it's not a challenge for you in your family to incorporate activity. Do you see other mothers that you're friends with or that you hang out with that you're wondering how they're going to get anybody in their family moving? I mean, the childhood obesity problem in this country is crazy.
You know, I'll tell you, for us, it's not an issue. In fact, when we got our home in Las Vegas, we picked it around a park, and that park has been our savior. And we meet tons of fit families out there. People bike there, walk there, go there every night. We walk there because it's – and I met a grandma there last week, and she's got her 2-year-old grandson there, and she said, I'm here every night now because we're breaking the iPad addiction. The little boy is the son of a single mom, and, you know, they got into some bad habits, and now the grandpa and grandma have moved here to take care of him, and she said, we have to break this habit because it's not healthy, it's not good. And so that, you know, anecdotally, that's someone that I've talked with, but most of my friends here, you know, you kind of find friends with shared interests. So most of us are pretty athletic or healthy or fit families. I do have friends, of course, that they eat the complete opposite of me, and I'm not going to judge them for it, but they notice I just model the behavior that I want for my kids, and I give the food that I want my kids to eat to my kids. And they see that. And it's funny because some of my close friends have changed their eating habits because of me. In fact, my mom is just starting on the paleo journey now because of the results she has seen with me.
See, you just defined that's why you're fitfluential. I mean, truthfully, and I'm not being that dorky, like, let me just plug myself. But truthfully, like, that's to me everything that is why I founded this company is I was influenced by amazing people that either inspired me, motivated me, taught me, and that's exactly what it's all about. It doesn't have to be a credentialed expert that can teach you. Everybody has different ways of teaching. Even your daughter who's here on the show, this is her first podcast interview.
It is.
It's pretty amazing. So you just alluded to your lifestyle and how you eat, and I want to, because we're, believe it or not, I mean, we're closing in on like the end, but I want to ask you a couple of things. So What are you doing as far as your fitness activity, and how do you fit it in? Do you go to a gym? Do you do CrossFit? Do you run? Do you go to the park? Do you work out at home? And how do you fit it in with your busy work life? I know you just launched your own podcast. We're linking to that in the transcript and on Fitfluential Radio. How do you fit it in, and what do you fit in?
So right before I had my daughter, I was working out 6 to 7. Oh my goodness. I was working out 6 to 7 days a week in a hot yoga and fitness studio. So I was doing boot camps 2 days a week, yoga, Pilates, everything. I was in the best shape of my life. And then when I got pregnant with my daughter, I, just like with my son, had something called hyperemesis gravidarum, which is basically where you vomit uncontrollably for 9 months. So that included, you know, hospital visits, fluid. You basically can't eat. So everything that I had done to basically help myself and get in great shape was completely destroyed, because the only thing I could eat were carbs. I mean, that was it. It was like saltine crackers and you know, anything else I could keep down without getting sick. So since she's been born, I see diet. It's so important. I would say that is the most important part for me right now, getting my body back in shape. But then I started meeting with my trainer as soon as I got cleared by the doctor, twice a week, to kind of get my ab muscles back together. Like, just to do a sit-up again was a huge struggle. And then I walk every day right now. And other than that, I'm starting back at the studio in about 2 weeks to get myself back in shape.
I love, though, that you're not putting undue pressure on yourself.
No.
I mean, that's certainly, I'm using myself as a very transparent example on the show and when we talk, because I want people to know, like, I have a ways to go. I'm a work in progress. And I have been that person that was very myopic and I need a quick fix. I need everything to be fixed. And, you know, I need to be perfect by this, you know, party that I'm going to in December or whatever. Now everything I do is about, you know, what can I accomplish? And I'm giving this a year. And I can sense in the way that you're talking that you're accepting of, look at what you've been through.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine. And did you say that the condition that you had during your pregnancy is a common one?
It only affects 1% of pregnancies, so it's not super common. And it's debilitating, because you can't do anything. You can't even. I mean, I barely left the house, but it's worth it in the end, because you know you're getting a baby. Like, I knew I was sick for a reason. And you're right that I don't put like unnecessary stress on myself. I want to be healthy, but I also want to enjoy my daughter and my family. And my husband works 12 hours a day. I've got my business. I've got 2 kids. So, you know, if I can just get a walk to the park in each day right now, I am totally okay with that. And I do a few extra sit-ups at home. And that's what it is.
Yeah, it's got to be about balance. And I love that you said enjoying life along the way. That's something I've had to learn. You know, I've been such a type A workaholic, obsessive, crazed person that I never gave myself a break. And I thought, you know, and again, I'm not sharing these things because I'm proud of them. I'm sharing them because I'm getting past it and I'm starting to enjoy life more when I say I don't have to not go out and not be social and kind of hide in my office all the time because I'm not the perfect size that I think I should be. Like, life is meant to be enjoyed along the way.
Yes.
And we should give ourselves a break, respect ourselves, and stop comparing ourselves to these ads in magazines that are airbrushed so uncontrollably, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, you know, hearing you have such a reasonable, calm mindset is encouraging, not only for moms, but just for females in general. That's the kind of mindset that we want to get out there.
Well, and I will tell you, my husband loves, I technically would have 10 pounds, about 10, 7 to 10 pounds to be pre-pregnancy weight. And my husband keeps telling me, I love you with these extra pounds. Like, it looks really good. Like, he really enjoys it.
That's awesome. You and your husband, I remember meeting him, is so adorable. The two of you are the most adorable couple. And when everybody, when you follow Sarah, if you're not following her already, again, we'll have links to everything in her bio. You heard me in the intro. It'll be on fitfluentialradio.com. But just, you got to follow her on Snapchat, because you are hysterical on Snapchat. You are the cutest family. Your babies, I can't tell who they look more like. You know, they're the perfect combination of you and your husband, and they're just, it's fun to watch. So that's a Thank complete you. Side note. But before we go, I mentioned when we started the show, I was connecting with you on Snapchat and watching your adorable family, and you were making all this amazing paleo food. So you do a lot of cooking at home, mm-hmm. and I'm assuming that as you, because this is one of the things that we hear in the community is, I want to eat better, but I can't afford organic. I can't afford good food. I can't afford paleo, and it's true. You know, the convenience food, the ramen noodles, that's a lot cheaper than eating healthy sometimes. But I think a lot of people don't realize that when you do start eating quality food and paying attention to what you eat, whether it's paleo or another diet approach, and I'm using air quotes over here, all of these other areas in your life, like you'll be going to the doctor less, you'll be taking less antibiotics, you'll be getting sick less, your family will be feeling better. So it improves other areas of your life. Was it a sticker shock for you when you kind of moved into a healthier way of eating, or was it brutal or was it easy?
Well, for my husband, it was more brutal, I would say, because he just didn't have a concept of what a normal grocery bill was, and he eats a lot. So I have to plan for a lot of food for him. So it was at first, but then we find other ways around it. We were at the farmer's market this weekend, and we met some people who are cultivating a farm over by us, and they'll do a trade. If you come and work the farm, they'll give you food. There are other ways you can get produce, different meats, whatever. But we do buy high quality food. That is part of it. And I do a lot of fun, baking and cooking. And then we also have a few restaurants that have paleo diets around us, like high quality paleo diets. So we build that into our budget too, so that if I can't cook, we can order out without guilt.
Yeah. And I'm starting to see, that there are, first of all, we're going to have a lot of folks on the show that are from the original. I mean, actually, Kevin, my co-host, is one of the, was on the founding team of that Paleo FX conference. We have a lot of folks like Sarah Fragoso, who's a paleo cookbook author on the show. Lot of folks that are able to talk about why the paleo lifestyle. In fact, I just met an amazing doctor, Dr. Lane Sebring. He's going to be on the show. And I met him, and this man is 62 years old. He literally looks like he's 38, is in Wow. amazing shape. And I, the first, we got into this conversation, and the first thing he said was, he's like, everybody should be eating paleo. And if I would have heard that 2 years ago, I would have been rolling my eyes like, give me a break. But Yep. now I'm going to tell you, it has gotten rid of so many issues. And I went in phases. I didn't do it overnight. But I guess maybe that would be a good question to end with, for whether it's moms or whether it's just women that are, they've been eating crap and wanting to feel better and look better. What would you say to somebody who's like, yeah, I want to start, down this road, but how did you, what would be a good baby step for women or moms that want to get started eating healthier in your opinion and your experience?
So here's what, I can actually use a case study with my mom, and then what I just did. So I didn't go paleo overnight because it's hard when you're coming from eating a carb heavy diet, especially when that was sustaining me through a pregnancy. And shortly thereafter, I gave myself 3 weeks, and I guess somebody could pace it out to 6 weeks or whatever. But each week I gave up one thing. So I didn't eat a lot of dairy, but 1 week was dairy. 1 week I eliminated grains. The next week I eliminated legumes. And so by that fourth week, I was pretty much back to my clean diet. And I was just feeling so much better. I was feeling extremely exhausted, not just from sleep deprivation from having a baby, but just I call it my food hangover, where I was just crashing from the foods I was eating. And by that fourth week, I had more energy. My anxiety had lessened. I mean, I feel better. I feel great. Mm. And I think in that 3 weeks, you can really start to eliminate some foods instead of trying to do it overnight. So that way, if you slip or don't feel like you can give everything up, you don't have to do it all at once.
Yeah. And I have to say, the more that for everybody listening who's considering this, do some research, but don't try to go hardcore overnight. And that would be true with activity. Yes. Always do baby steps. Give yourself a break. Give yourself, say, I'm going to dedicate myself to a year mm-hmm. of wellness. I'm going to get better and start working on your sleep. But don't do anything overnight that puts too much pressure on yourself. I love that approach. And I think it's where people will start to notice the difference and not be overwhelmed by it. But I can tell you, you know, about a week ago after I was here in Austin, we went to get, I think we got gluten-free pizza, which usually is okay for me. And then we got dessert, you know, and Kevin's my health coach. And he's like, look, it's not about never having dessert. It's not about never having adult beverages. So we got dessert. We each got something from this amazing restaurant. And I kid you not, like I had half of this red velvet cake and immediate headache. It was almost like a migraine.
Yep.
And there's other things that I can have from a sweets or a carb perspective as a treat. And it's fine. You know, like, thank God I don't have a problem going to Olive Garden and having breadsticks and Alfredo sauce. And that's about the most like air quotes, unhealthy thing I can say. But like, I could die with Olive Garden breadsticks and Alfredo sauce. And that's everything I'm not regularly eating. Mm-hmm. But there are things when you move into this lifestyle that you're like, it's not worth it. It's not worth having a headache.
I just don't want it. Yeah.
So yeah, your taste will change. Love that. Again, and before, actually, this is going to be my last question, Sarah. Tell us about your podcast, because I didn't even realize you had that until we reconnected. And I think a lot of moms out here are going to want to tune into that.
Well, I just launched Your Mama podcast, and it's just talking about mom's everyday life. I mean, I may have to have you on, Kelly, to talk about fitness for moms and women. But I really started it because I didn't have an outlet to talk about some of the brutal facts, the real life of motherhood today. So we've got 5 episodes in, and there are baby noises in my podcast because I always say this is my real life right now. And if I'm going to be truthful and honest, I'm not going to edit it out because it's, you know, these are the sounds we're all used to right now. We're all trying to multitask and get things done. I have different guests on to talk about different issues related to motherhood, different awesome parts of being a mom, because there are so many, otherwise we wouldn't do it. And it's a journey right now.
That's awesome. I started to listen to the first episode. And again, for those of you that are new, check it out, because she is very real. And I'm not a mom, but I can only imagine if I had ever decided to be a mom that I would be so overwhelmed and so scared and so wanting advice and help from people that have been there. So highly encourage you. Again, we will link that up in the show notes over on fitfluentialradio.com. But Sarah, thank you. Thank you so much. It was great to reconnect with you. It's been too long. I'm probably going to have to ask you to be on the show again. I would love to come over and visit with you on your podcast. But it has been great. Thank you so much. And we will talk again soon and give those kids a kiss. And we're going to have to also have you share some of your favorite paleo recipes on fitfluential.com as well, if you're open to that.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.